This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Some people are unhappy because it's too liberal a policy or too conservative a policy, but we brought it back into the states where it has to be, and over a period of time, that works out.
The former president, of course, that was last week in Wisconsin discussing, obviously, the issue of abortion. The issue of abortion front and center nationally, just about everywhere, including here in Georgia. There are those who would tell you that Georgia has some of the toughest abortion restrictions in the country. The so-called fetal heartbeat bill bans most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Here's a piece of legislation. Didn't make it across the finish line. I'm not even sure it made it out of committee during the most recent legislative session, but the sponsor of this House bill planned to bring it up next year, and he joins us now. That is State Rep. Emory Donahue from Hall County. Representative Donahue, thanks for your time this morning.
Tim, thank you. It's been a long time since you and I spoke. We also spoke 13 years ago when I was playing a golf tournament for the first time, and I was going to sink a long putt, if you remember that.
I do recall that very well, and I remember speaking to you a time or two since, and when a fellow approached me at the end of church yesterday, the guy I go to church with, says, yeah, you need to talk with Emory Donahue about this. This isn't about restricting abortion. This is about abolishing abortion. It's an abortion abolition bill. Again, in a House committee, when the session came to a close, you're planning to bring this back next year. What would it do?
Basically, what this does, you talked about the heartbeat bill, that brought it to where people's mind thinks that basically when the heart starts, that's life. When it stops, that's death. What this does is goes by what the Bible pretty much teaches us at conception. That means when the lady is pregnant, that this is a living being called an unborn child. With this bill, it's not to go and penalize every person and say, you're guilty of this, you're guilty of that. This is to say that if you willingly take the life of an unborn child, there are consequences. Now, that doesn't mean each mom would be tried as a murderer. It all would depend on the prosecutor, the solicitor. It would depend on each case standing alone on the merit of how this unborn child was murdered. Tim, if I or you or somebody shot or somebody took the life of a pregnant mom and the baby died, we could be tried for two murders. So why would we say there's a definition of two lives, but then this child, this unborn child, is not recognized as a life if we are allowed to murder it? And that's what it is. It's murder. And they used the word, which is a buzzword, abortion. Back before Roe versus Wade, you could not murder an unborn child. We're bringing it back to say it is murder, and that's what this bill basically does. It has a lot of protection in it, but it's just calling it like it is. An unborn child has no protection from someone taking the life of it under the circumstances we have now. It says in case of, you know, the heartbeat bill, incest, rape, and the life of the mother. What did the unborn child do to be murdered for the sins of someone else that would commit rape or incest?
Yeah,
and under 1% have we ever used the life of the mother.
State Rep. Emory Donahue with us. I was struck by, in the language that's used to abolition, we're going to abolish slavery or abortion in the way that slavery was abolished a century and a half ago. And it struck me, and it's a very obvious analogy, you're saying, well, we already have the abortion restrictions in place, no abortions after 6 weeks, the heartbeat bill and such. It would be as if the abolitionist in the 1830s and 40s and 50s were saying, okay, let's abolish slavery, but allow it for, oh, I don't know, up to 6 weeks, and with other exemptions under which people could still own slaves. It would have been unthinkable then, and this should be, I would think, in your mind, unthinkable now.
Yes, sir. And if you remember, when I first came here, we did the fetal pain bill. That was the first bill to protect the unborn. And with that, that brought it to 22 weeks. Then it took us to move up that ladder, 2019, the heartbeat bill, but you hit it right on the head. You can be a slave for 6 weeks, and then we're going to let you go free. How do you work the process? Do you bring people in and say, okay, you're free, we're bringing six more in? It's pretty ridiculous. This is just saying, again, that basically this unborn child that has no protection would have protection, and it could not be murdered just because it was convenience for someone.
All right. Now, you know, you watch this stuff as closely as I do. You know which way the wind is blowing on this, or which way it appears to be blowing on this, that, in fact, the states that have the more restrictive abortion rights can't get rid of them fast enough. Look at what just happened in Arizona, repealing an abortion law there. Other places are starting to walk back opposition to bills of this sort. I'm told that in Louisiana, where the House Speaker Mike Johnson is, this very bill, this abolition of abortion bill, was in a House committee until the U.S. Speaker of the House sent word that he wanted it dead, and so it's dead in Louisiana. The winds are blowing in the other direction politically, aren't they?
Yes, sir, they are. And, you know, the shame part of this that we all should be ashamed of is it's all about people getting reelected. It's not about doing the right thing, and so many problems that we have, we allow a small group of people to control the outcome way too much. And that's the problem on every side. We have people that call themselves Democrats. Guess what? That's my friends. We serve together. We don't hate each other. We disagree on things. But some of my across the aisle will say, you know, I believe that life starts at conception. But that's a smaller group that will tell you that when they're not in their whole group. And the same thing on the other side. We have people that want to stand for pro-life, but then they always throw out buzzwords, the exceptions. And you're right. I think our biggest problem is people are backing up, trying to get, well, let's rescind this law. Let's go back and allow people to have choice. And this is something that we call life and death. This isn't choice like going to Dairy Queen and getting a strawberry milkshake and just saying, here's what I would like. This is something that is life and death, and we need to stand up as Christians and fight back, just like the stupidity that's going on in all these colleges. There's rules, and we need to abide by the rules, and that's something this bill would do. And hopefully, and I'm praying that we would have the opportunity to listen in the House and the Senate to take this bill from a committee that's held a lot of good bills up, and put it on the floor to vote, and at least people will know where other representatives and senators stand on the issue of life.
And that would be, of course, next year's legislative session. State Rep. Emory Donahue with us another couple of minutes here. You mentioned, by way of a segue here, the insanity that's happening on college campuses, some of it here in Athens, over there at Emory, elsewhere around the state, elsewhere around the country. Some general observations. What do you think we're watching here, and what do you think we should be doing about it?
I think Governor Kemp did a great job when all of a sudden they started here. You have the right to protest. That's the right of freedom of speech. However, once you're here to cause problems, to tear up and destruct property that is public property and even private property, there are consequences. And here at Georgia, here at Emory, this is going to be pretty much where you come here, you can do whatever you want to do in peace to protest, but once you cross that line, you will be arrested. You will make restitution. And these other colleges have kind of let it just go on now to where it's too big to control. And that's something they're going to have to do, is they're going to have to go by the rules that apply, prosecute the people, check the people out. There's a lot of these people are not students, and there are a lot that are. Number one, they don't have any clue what they're protesting, because if you wanted them to protest in the country they're wanting to talk about, guess what? They would sit there and they would cut their heads off. They would sit there and eliminate them because they have no freedom of speech, and they're just sitting here walking around protesting on stuff they have no really clue what they're protesting.
And State Rep. Emory Donahue, Republican, Hall County. I was trying to remember because I know we had a redistricting conversation. Now, your district, the district you represent, geographically, what we're talking about?
We're talking about just north of Arcade. I have Jefferson, Pendergrass, Talmo, Houston, and parts of Braselton, and it's District 31. And I come into Hall County. Used to, I had all South Hall, Flowery Branch, Oakwood coming into Gainesville, and I still have that. Believe it or not, I have people call me every day. I'm still their rep no matter what. I served them for 13 years, and I just took a little bigger part going into Jackson County, and I met some great people there and already knew great people.
All right, again, so I called you a Hall County state rep, actually representing a big chunk of Gwinnett or Jackson County as well.
Jackson County.
Yeah, State Rep. Emory Donahue will keep an eye on this bill when the Secretary will remind us when that session gets rolling next year. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir, and have a great day.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.